This isn't a diet. It's a quiet. People come to intermittent fasting for all of the weight loss. But what people discover very quickly, as I did, is that I felt more grounded and present. And in that quiet, our brain starts to work correctly.
Welcome to the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast with DIY healthy lifestyle blogger, Anna Fulmer. Empowering you to transform your life one imperfect day at a time.
This November, we are celebrating all month long in anticipation of the 100th episode of the Imperfectly Empowered podcast that will air on Tuesday, December 6th, with a $100 Amazon gift card giveaway just in time for you to splurge this Christmas guilt-free. You can enter all month long by visiting the show notes. Click on the link at hammersandhugs.com, or if you are watching on YouTube, click on the giveaway link in the description below. On the giveaway page, you will see the opportunity to enter. And one of those ways is by reviewing the podcast on Apple and mentioning your favorite episode from the last 100 episodes this year. If it involved a guest, please be sure to give them a shout out in the review, and I will screenshot your review and send it to them directly, as I know it will mean so much to them. Galetta Mom says, I listened to the episode with Allison Lombatis, which was fabulous, but I found I really like the heart and style of the host and am now a fan subscriber. Anna, thanks for the great content. Galetta Mom, thank you so much for being a fan of the show. I literally would not be here without you. And Allison is amazing. ERB1339 says, I listened to Anna's advice on getting better sleep at night. Her suggestions are data-based, but she supplements it with personal anecdotes from her own family's experiences. Her recommendations are specific and manageable, and I am definitely going to test out some of her ideas. I'm always excited to hear more. ERB, thank you for listening. I am also a fan of yours. So grateful for you hanging out here. The last one, Cam2825 says, very helpful on his podcast on setting up a more effective and healthy morning routine. Was a great and helpful listen, although we do disagree on the topic of sleeping with socks on. I actually don't remember mentioning that in that episode, but I absolutely sleep with socks on. I can't go to sleep if I don't have socks on. So Cam2825, that's all right. We can agree to disagree. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Those of us in this business value your kind words and positive feedback more than you could possibly know. This $100 Amazon giveaway is just a small thank you from me to you, my dear listeners, for supporting the Imperfectly Empowered podcast. I could not be here without you. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered podcast. I am your host, Anna Fulmer. Today we have intermittent fasting coach and author, Lori Lewis. Lori is the CEO of the company Fast Forward Wellness, where she specifically coaches women through the eating schedule of intermittent fasting. She is passionate about empowering women in perimenopause and menopause to thrive. Here to share her expertise, welcome Lori Lewis.
So great to meet you.
Yeah, it is so wonderful to have you. I really have enjoyed looking over what you do. I'm so excited to break it down, Fast Forward Wellness. And it's perfect timing because women struggling with health and wellness through menopause is questions that I get asked all the time. And as a woman who has not hit menopause yet, there's times that I just think I'm limited. You know, we're often limited when we don't have experience ourselves.
For sure.
That you can have all the expertise in the world, but until you have personally experienced it, you're always a little limited. So I am thrilled to have you here. I always like to press the rewind button a little bit and just chat a little bit about your journey to becoming an intermittent fasting coach and the owner of CEO, I should say, of Fast Forward Wellness. And just tell me a little bit about you and how you got to where you are.
Well, you know, Anna, I have had an interest, a curiosity about nutrition and feeding myself well. When I was in my late 20s, I had this thought one day. I was just eating what normally, like a normal American, you know, and all of a sudden it hit me. I had this thought, which was, oh, I think this Diet Coke isn't good for me. And that began, so from that moment, I stopped drinking soda and pop, whatever part of the world you're from, whatever you call it. And I cut out sugar, I cut out all sweeteners, and I started paying attention to what is real whole food and what's, it's like, oh, you mean most of what they sell in the grocery store isn't actually food? Right. What is it then?
Right.
And so for about 20 years, this was an interest of mine, you know, on the side, kind of a hobby, if you will. And fast forward to my early to mid 40s, I felt like I was at the top of my game. I was lean and fit and healthy. And all of a sudden, perimenopause hit. But I didn't know that's what it was because they don't send us to a biology class for right. older women.
Right.
And also right around that time, I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition for a year and got a health coach certification, not because I ever wanted to be a health coach, but because I wanted to deepen my understanding of the wide varieties of ways that people can eat and recognizing our bio-individuality and that each person's body is different and needs different fuel. And that really interested me. And so I got this health coach certification and didn't ever think I would use it. And then jump to menopause. So I had five, six very difficult years of perimenopause, finally piecing it together, what was happening to me. And I couldn't wait for it all to be over. And then when my period stopped, and technically, officially, you are in menopause, you are postmenopausal when you haven't had a period for a year. So boom, I was 49, which is early. The average is between 51, 52-ish. Mm. And I suddenly gained 50 pounds. Boom. My hormones were just in chaos, and there was nothing I could do about it until one day, after really struggling for another 4.5, 5 years, I heard about intermittent fasting. And it just came up so unexpectedly because I was at the end of my rope. The only word I can use to describe how I felt was despondent. I had brain fog and memory loss. My body was aching head to toe, like every part of me hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the extra 50 pounds was part of it. I didn't feel like myself or look like myself.
Right.
But so when people started asking me what I was doing to feel better, I started sharing with them about eating in an eating window and having a customized pattern of time that I figured out for myself, you know, what my fasting and eating sweet spot was. And my own journey coupled with a lot of study, and then this many years of enjoying studying nutrition, I started my first holiday program. I'm heading into my fifth one. So leading and guiding people through the holidays so that you know that you don't ever have to diet again now or ever again in January. Yeah. And so that's how I got here.
Yeah, I love one of the things that you mention on your website is how our culture has dieted our way to obesity. And I have spoken about this before as well, this concept. But talk to me a little bit about that, the concern of dieting and how this actually is contributing to the epidemic that we have here.
Well, it starts with the context that something's wrong with us. And it also starts with the premise that other people are the authority and I need to be told what to eat and how much. And we completely lose sight of our own agency, our own choice. And then coupled with the triple whammy, I guess, is that our food supply is designed to keep us addicted, to keep us coming back for more. So it is hyper palatable, meaning extra delicious.
Super sweet.
And we don't have to chew it very much, but when we do, the crunchy things, they're designed to have the perfect crunch. It's like if you think about, okay, someone out there, if you love Cheetos, think of a Cheeto versus a carrot. It's like, oh, I don't want to chew so much to have a carrot. And other people are like, I like carrots. Okay, so see, everybody's different. But we have been trained for the last 60 years to lose a taste for real whole food. So the way we've dieted our way into obesity is that I think everybody's had a glimpse of what it took to lose weight at some point in their lives. And so they know they can do it and they know something worked, except then we find ourselves back to gaining it all back and more. Mm-hmm. So there's this terrible cycle of punishment and extreme, you know, abuse of ourselves and self-criticism. Mm-hmm. And that whole world, that diet mindset, diet brain, diet culture, even if people are listening and they're like, I've never been on a diet. My sister's always dieting, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. We're still immersed in this conversation about being good and bad and this punitive mindset, and that certain foods are good or bad. And if mm-hmm. I eat them, I'm bad and I'm trying to be good. And everything, the domain that I'm swimming in is one of tuning inward, our inner compass, not following someone else's map. So if you could be like, well, you're Lori Lewis, you're in the business of guiding people. Yeah, but I am, all I'm doing is listening and tuning into and having you turn inward to your inner compass and what your body's telling you, not following someone else's plan. And nothing, like the punishment model is over. The internal noise, the chaos, the self-criticism I have discovered for myself and coaching thousands of people, that having and fasting hours and an eating window helps to quiet the noise. So I always say this isn't a diet, it's a quiet. And people come to intermittent fasting for all of the, what they hear about all the weight loss. Mm. But what people discover very quickly, as I did within the first 3 days of having an eating window, is that I felt so, I'll never forget where I was standing. I was in my mom's kitchen and I was like, whoa, I feel more grounded and present and clear. I feel more like myself. Mm-hmm. And in that quiet, we can start to hear our brain, the apostat, the appetite center in our brain that regulates our hunger and satiety hormones and so forth, starts to work correctly. And we can then hear our body telling us what food, what nutrients, not calories, the body has no calorie receptors in it, but what nutrients it needs. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and I think part of the, you know, what you're really speaking to is this all or nothing mentality that we are so susceptible to as humans, and especially in this culture, is this idea that we really struggle. It's like we want the all or nothing because it ends up with quick results, but then it's rarely ever sustainable. And no, at the end of the day, yeah. Is it really worth it if it can't be sustained? And then, like you just said, what I see is that it constantly leads to this negative feedback cycle where it's the yo-yo and the mental toll that takes for so many women, especially, and men, is really difficult. And then you're sort of in this failure mentality, whether you are conscious of it or not. So it's so true, the concept of dieting. And then it's one of the reasons that we also over here are huge fans of tracking macronutrients and not counting calories, because it's a shift in mindset. And you address this too. It's counting calories is not inherently incorrect, but it is dangerously incomplete because the calorie doesn't account for the nutrient density. So again, you said this beautifully, but for those of you listening, if you have not listened to my podcast on tracking macros versus counting calories, Lori has already touched on it. It's this idea that we want to prioritize nutrient-dense food, and we want to see food as fuel, not as a burden. We don't want to restrict it. We want to fuel with it. So it is. It's a freeing mentality. And then intermittent fasting is not a diet. It's a schedule, and it provides freedom in its own right, which will, I'm sure we'll dive into that as well. What would you say if you could look back to those years where you really struggled with weight gain in that menopausal, those years, what is one mindset that you would encourage a woman who may be there now? What is one way that she can start? Because here's what happens. It's usually a process, right? Like a woman listening to this podcast right now who may be in that phase of life, it is rare that we make a decision just like that. It's like we have to hear things a million times before we actually act on that as a truth or in a reality in our life. So what would be your tip for the woman listening who just feels like the weight is inevitable, the extra fat, which we want to get rid of, not because it has anything to do with your value, but because it promotes disease and we want to live well. So we want to shed that excess body fat percentage. What would you say to her to help her take that next best step forward because you've been there and you know what she's thinking.
Oh my gosh. I could take the hand of every 44-year-old woman or 38 and beyond, really, is when it starts. I would say to start talking about perimenopause. Like, what is that? Read the book. You think, oh, I'm not there. I'm just going to exercise my way right through it. And I'm going to stay exactly the same way I am and muscle my way through like I always have. It's like, Okay. So this is not a hard time for everyone. I want to say that. So I don't want anyone to approach these years, which really are about 10 years, with any fear or dread. I want you to approach it with information and sisterhood.
Mm.
And I don't want you to be afraid of talking to the men around it. We don't need to whisper the word menopause. That is so weird. We don't even have to say the word menopause. There's a wonderful doctor who just wrote a book called The Upgrade, Luann Bresenden. I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly. It's called The Upgrade. And she stopped calling these years menopause and started calling it The Upgrade. And then the perimenopausal years, she's calling it The Transition. And this book, that book is amazing. So read books like, you know, Estrogen Matters and Perimenopause Power and learn that there
we'll put some of those in the show notes, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I've got a long list of books.
Yeah.
And so to listen to podcasts about perimenopause and menopause. And it is the time to have, surprisingly, a more gentle approach. And it's like, no. I'm used to pushing my way through. It's worked before. It's going to work now. It actually won't. And we need to disentangle this idea that the only things worth having are worth struggling for, that it's very important. If it's very important, we have to push hard and demonstrate that it's important and keep pushing and pull out all the
all stops. Or nothing. It's the all or nothing.
Right. Yeah. And the all or nothing approach. See, we kind of, this is a hard one for people to get, that if I am not pushing hard and pulling out all the stops, then I must not be taking it very seriously.
Yeah.
That being, having a gentle approach, we think must mean that we don't care very much or we're not taking it seriously. And so what will work during this transition and in our later years as a woman is to tune inward and take very good care of ourselves. So you want to look at all the ways, you know, make a pie chart, all the ways that we take care of ourselves, hydration and nutrition choices and movement and sleep.
Yeah.
I would say also to a woman at this point that you start prioritizing sleep because
I mean, listen,
time.
Every single person listening to this, male, woman, child, everyone knows how much I'm hardcore about sleep on here. Sleep is the number one holistic reset button. Yes.
Mm. And so I call it also another piece of the pie could be, you know, puttering and play, just like free time. People are, I've got no free time. Okay. We need to start making it.
Yeah. I'm speaking to myself there.
Make it. Put it in your calendar. Time to just putter and poke around, whether that's in the garden or digging through your jewelry box and finding things. It's like, oh, I forgot I had this.
Who does this belong to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that pie chart, I like to say, you know, where's having a fasting schedule on that pie chart? I say that your fasting schedule and your eating window is the crust, because having the foundation of a daily pattern of putting your body deliberately into repair mode. It's in fix-it mode, deep cellular repair when you're fasting, and then consciously having an eating window where you are looking forward to delicious, nutritious food. Whatever else you care about in your life, having a fasting schedule makes it better. It makes your sleep better. It makes your food choices better. It makes your focus and performance and at work better. It makes your communication as a more patient, loving person better. It makes your fitness better. You're stronger and have more stamina and more focus as you're doing your movement practices. So, it's a counterintuitive thing that stopping from eating for a portion of every day can be the thing that will strengthen you on all those other areas. Yeah.
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I we have mentioned this before on here, but I just want to reiterate again what Lori said. For those of you women who are like, ah, this is me, I'm in this phase, is we've said it before, but we are not given the education, unfortunately, in our growing up years, even in high school, on our bodies. We're just not. And hopefully this will change, but you know, we don't understand what does a menstrual cycle actually truly look like, and what are, you know, what is actually happening, and do you understand your organs? So I think menopause is another great example of where we have fallen short from an education standpoint and truly preparing men and women to thrive in real life, you know, as opposed to more chemistry or trigonometry or fill in the blank. It would have probably been helpful to understand how my ovaries and uterus really worked.
Well, our doctors don't know either, Anna. So truly. So well, I'm going to add a
listen,
tip that I've
everyone
never given.
Here has heard that as well, because I've, as a medical professional myself, we have had people on here and we're like, the medical system's broken. It is unfortunate. Our education, traditionally speaking, has not been agreed with you completely. It's been talked about on here. So this is the reality, but this drives home Lori's point. You need to educate yourself. Try to find trusted resources. If you've not heard me say this before, if you want to Google trusted medical resources, I recommend John Hopkins as a great, that I'm also a student of theirs. That's where I got my master's. Yeah. So I'm a little biased, but truly you will actually get researched, evidence-based information. There's others, but that's a great place to start.
Oh, I agree. Dr. Mark Mattson from Johns
Perimenopause, menopause to understand the medical aspect.
I want to add one more tip, which is to start in these early 40s to find physicians who are experts at, because you don't want to wait till you're 49, 50, 51, and you should probably already be on hormone replacement and you could miss that window. Not everybody should be on it. I didn't, but I'm a big fan of working with a medical professional who will help with that
and engage and with that
band together with your friends and find each other's best doctors. And you know,
We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into Lori's expertise. We're going to chat about intermittent fasting and her expertise on helping you thrive right when we come back from this break.
You have tried it all. Worried you will never lose the extra weight or reclaim the energy you once enjoyed? Want to achieve fat loss without spending hours in a gym or eliminating entire food groups from your diet? Well, now you can. In the virtual Faster Way to Fat Loss with Anna, my 6-week fitness and nutrition program, you will learn how to pair effective 30-minute workouts with all-natural, evidence-based nutritional strategies to leverage what you eat and when you eat to reset your metabolism and burn fat fast, even that stubborn belly fat. I am a dual-certified nurse practitioner passionate about teaching sustainable strategies to promote fat loss and prevent disease. I have cheered on thousands of clients who have done just that with the Faster Way program. In my 6-week program, the average client currently sheds 7 inches of body fat. 93% report more energy, and 89% state that their mental health has improved. 100% of clients report they feel this program is sustainable. Curious to try the program, but not sure if the strategies will work for you? Try the Faster Way strategies for free. Head to www.hammersandhugs.com and sign up for my free 7-day fat loss accelerator course today and start your own transformation story.
We are back here with Lori. We're going to play a quick round of speed round of this or that. I didn't give Lori that heads up that we're doing that. It's just basically two options.
Hit me.
Hit me. She's ready. This woman's ready. Okay. Would you rather a burger or a hot dog?
Neither. I haven't eaten meat in over 20 years.
Oh, girl. Oh, my heart breaks for you.
Oh, I don't miss it a bit. Yeah. See, this is a bio-individuality.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not dogmatic about it. I coach people who are carnivore, you know. So yeah.
I'm a meatitarian. Hashtag meatitarian.
Yeah, I get it.
Love it. That's so funny. Okay, so that one does not apply to you. All right. Well, now I'm trying to think of good like vegan options.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Here's one. Okay, would you rather quinoa or rice?
Well, quinoa has me double over in pain. It's one of the foods that I actually can't eat. So,
oh my goodness, so I've not heard that a lot.
Oh my gosh. Huh. See, this is again bioindividuality. People are like, what do you eat? I'm like, first of all, I'm not gonna tell you what I eat and don't eat because I don't want you to follow me. Following the guru is what we do. And I have a very strange list of foods that are do not agree. I just say do not agree with me.
Don't agree with
you. That's
quinoa
is one of them.
Funny. Oh, interesting. I have not heard that one as on the list very often. That's really interesting.
I'm full of surprises.
I love it. Okay, well, let's go to one that's a little bit safer. When you first see somebody, do you notice their smile or their hair first?
Oh my gosh. Well, I do appreciate a good smile. And people could smile more than I would say their smile. Yeah.
Amen. Would you rather wear flats or heels?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to be 60 in a few months. And I used to think that I would wear heels forever. And I'm like, are you kidding? No way. I mean, I'll put them on, but... yeah, I just love little flat pair of boots.
Yeah. Okay. Who's your very, very, very favorite shoe company? Like, if you recommended a brand of shoes to a woman, who would it be? Or what brand?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's this Italian brand that makes these incredible handmade boots and loafers and stuff.
Ooh, called. I love boots. Sucker for boots.
I think, I don't even know how to pronounce it. I feel like, I feel like I'm doing it.
No worries,
Italian,
no judgment.
But it's kind of French. I don't know. It's like, it's called Officine Creative or something like that. Oh my gosh. I get their emails and I always open them because I'm like, and maybe
shoes
people would look
kill
at them.
Me. Shoes and, kill me. That is my one. I'm not like super into fashion. I'm like, I'd rather decorate my house or use like a chainsaw. Honestly, like I don't enjoy looking for whatever. So I'm like, just tell me what to wear.
I have not
but
like a nice
shoes
handmade
are
stable.
My weakness. Yeah.
Yeah. I like shoes. A good sturdy pair. Like I've been wearing the same pair of little winter boots for, I just keep getting them resold. I bear the day that they're going to fall apart and I won't be able to wear them again. But
I love it. So. That's actually a great tip, by the way. This is a little tidbit that you didn't know you were getting today that a lot of people don't realize is if you buy a high quality shoe, especially if it's like leather or the upper is a genuine, you know, whatever material, you can always get the sole of the shoe redone for like peanuts. I mean, around here, we live in Amish country. So like they do them for so cheap.
Wow. I should send you my shoes and have them resold.
They really, there's an advantage.
It doesn't seem cheap to me whenever they say how much it's going to cost to resold them. I kind of gasp, but then it's worth it. These are my favorite shoes. They're going to come back all shiny new with new soles and new. Yeah.
And you're not paying for all the material on the top. So yeah, I guess I should qualify. I don't know what you're paying to resole. Here it is really not that. It's not that expensive.
Very expensive.
Oh, where do you live?
Well, I lived in New York City for 25 years and now I live in Portland, Oregon. And it's still expensive here.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, maybe it also depends if you're getting them totally resold or getting them fixed. Because we've also often just gotten the soles fixed. Maybe not necessarily.
Go through and throw out all your shoes that look ratty and the ones you love, take them to a cobbler. People are like, a cobbler? What the hell is that?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so true. This is a great tip though, because you will ultimately end up saving money as opposed to buying the same shoe over and over again for sure.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah. Fashion tip with Lori and Anna that you did not know you were getting.
Upcycling.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we were chatting about intermittent fasting a little bit and more so just this idea of empowering women, especially in perimenopause and menopause, to feel fabulous. First steps, Lori gave excellent advice. Educate yourself, find medical professionals who are experts in these fields, and don't wait too long, especially once you've educated yourself and you're like, ooh, that's starting to sound like me. Find those people, connect with your friends, make sure that you all have good resources. So let's talk about intermittent fasting. Tell me, ultimately, if somebody's interested, here's what I hear a lot. So I don't know if you know this about the program that I coach for. I'm a big fan of intermittent fasting. 16-8 is the method that I personally promote. But the bottom line is, I have frequently heard, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, there's no way I can skip breakfast. I feel lightheaded. I feel dizzy. Mm-hmm. I feel fill in the blank. What are your top tips to getting started with intermittent fasting? And then also give the listener a sense of what intermittent fasting even involves.
Okay, great. So you said it earlier, it's a timing. So it's not a diet. It's a timing. A diet implies that there are certain foods that you should or shouldn't eat. And so the diet is what you're eating. And then intermittent fasting, even though, as I said, people come to it for the weight loss and they hear like it's a popular diet, it's not a diet. It's a timing.
It is not a diet. Write that down.
So I would say that if you love breakfast, you should have breakfast. So what I do in my coaching is I find out really intimately, like, tell me all of your patterns. What do you do now? And I start with the end of the day. So I say, when do you have dinner? And what do you eat after dinner? What do you drink after dinner? And when is like the kitchen closed? When do you start drinking plain water? Or do you drink flavored drinks and eat things right up until you go to bed? Like, and when is that? Right. So it's like, what are you doing now? Take a look at that. Okay. So then each person can decide for themselves, what time today are you going to close your eating window? Like, you're going to wipe down the kitchen counters, turn off the lights, kitchen closed, pour a glass of water, and go to another room. So when is your eating window going to close today? And people will invariably say, well, when should it be? It's like, I don't know. You tell me. It's your choice. You are free to choose. Okay. So then you might want to tell people in your family, like, okay, I'm practicing this new thing, which is at the time I say, the kitchen's closed, my eating window's closed. And a lot of people struggle with, you know, late night eating. It's like the minute you settle in to watch whatever you love to watch, out comes, you know, the desire for
cereal and ice cream.
Those are the ones exactly. I hear a lot. it's habitual. So for some people, that is a habit to break. But once that eating window is closed and you're drinking plain unflavored water, go to bed early, wake up tomorrow, and add whatever time you closed your eating window, add 12 hours. Well, 12 hours for some people, that is a lot. It's like if you closed your eating window at 8 and you wake up at 5:30 or 6 waiting until 8 a.m., if you're used to just drinking flavored coffee and eating flavored nutrients early in the morning, waiting that 12 hours can be hard. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's like, yeah, that's nothing. I kind of do that already. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So we're all in different places. We're proving that already. So if you can get to 12 hours fasting clean, plain unflavored water, plain unflavored black coffee, plain unflavored bitter or green tea, the reason for what I call fasting clean that Jen Stevens popularized in her book, Fast, Feast, Repeat, is that for most people who are not at their ideal weight or have all their health markers optimized, we want to take full advantage of those fasting hours, all the repair that's possible. So any flavors, any nutrients can be a hindrance to that full repair state, that deep cellular repair. And so especially in the beginning, you want to practice fasting clean. So you get to that 12 hours and then it's like, well, what am I supposed to eat? Eat normally. What's that? Eat how you normally eat. We're doing one thing at a time. We're learning to fast clean and eat in an eating window. And we're going to stretch the fasting and we're going to shrink the eating window. And that could be gradual or it could be quick. For me, on day one, I like black coffee and I'm never hungry for breakfast. So it was pretty easy for me to get to 11 or 12 and have lunch. And I started out with a 16-8. I think if someone starts with 12-12, which has been proven to extend lifespan, to, you know, increase longevity. So if you are healthy and at an ideal weight, being mindful of 12 hours of clean fasting is really a quiver in, you know, it's a great tool in your toolbox for longevity. You said that you coach people in 16-8. To me, that's an incredible place for most people to have an 8-hour eating window. And that could be from 8 a.m. to 2 or, you know, 11 to 7, whatever people say, you can move it around. In the beginning, I feel like it's very helpful to have it be consistent. Because if it's moving around, we're creating a new habit. So if we're creating a new habit, what are your guardrails? You kind of want to get in your mind, I don't eat before 10 and I don't eat past 6, or I don't eat before 1 and I don't eat past 9, whatever those guardrails are. And then as a special occasion, like things in the holidays come up, You can expand it, you can move it, but in the beginning, I would have it be, I would settle in and have it be consistent for at least a month, for at least 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And for women who are going through the transition of perimenopause and women in menopause, so that would be most women over 50, I really recommend trying a shorter eating window. If we have, we're really trying to balance cortisol and insulin and estrogen and progesterone and, you know, and all of those hormones that are in massive flux at that time, that having the extended fast healing hours, I call the hours of repair when you're fasting, and a shorter eating window that you get to figure out when it is, can be very helpful in navigating the transition through perimenopause and menopause, for sure.
Hi, Denise Hamilton Mace here, host of the Low No Drinker podcast, your place to go to meet the people and brands leading the low and no alcohol revolution. Every week, I speak to brand founders like Carl Anthony Brown from CrossFit Non-Alcoholic Spirits and ex-Master Chef finalist Billy Wright from Descent 10% Gin. Industry experts like Hamish Renton in our chat about how the fat jabs will impact low and no drinkers. And I help you answer questions like, what the heck is the difference between non-alcoholic and alcohol-free anyways? This podcast is for you if you're looking for a fun and informative way to explore a life less intoxicated with no judgment or expectation. Check out the link in the description or find me at lownodrinkermagazine.com.
How are you encouraging them? So what I often see, the challenge with the shorter windows when I'm assessing my clients, and this, some women, especially if they've had enough practice, are able to do it. I will say in my experience, the challenge with the shorter eating windows, when you're actually tracking what you're eating, a lot of women struggle to get all of their nutrition in. Now, some of that's depending on your exercise, your movement, how much you are actually expending of that nutrition and the caloric, literally the energy that you are consuming through food. So that's the one thing to just be mindful of, is the goal of intermittent fasting is not actually calorie reduction.
Correct.
Which is often misunderstood. So if you're shortening that window, make sure you are seeking an expert where you are very carefully tracking what you're eating, because I find a lot of women end up under eating, which can then inhibit the ultimate.
Exactly. Result. Well, the way that I approach that is, as you're extending your fasting hours, you'll definitely experience hunger waves, and they're pretty predictable. They come at about 12 or 13 hours.
Y'all, intermittent fasting was hard for me. Let's make that really clear. I'm a huge proponent of it, but I felt terrible. People are like, I can't do it. I feel so nauseous. I'm like, girl, I want to hear it. I felt like I was going to puke half the time for months. Like, it took me a long time to, but the research was convincing to me, and I was like, I can do this. I know this is just, I need to adjust. But it, for my husband, it was not hard for him.
Yeah.
It was not hard for him. So it does adjust.
So the thing about food quantity is that once you discover for yourself the eating window that feels good, so you want to look at what your goals are. If you have fat to lose, remember that fat is fuel. It's on our bodies. Our body has stored it for someday when there's a famine, except there's no famine. We keep
not
feeding
in this
it.
Country.
Okay. So we're carrying this fuel around that we need to tap into. And during the fasting hours, when we're fasting clean and keeping insulin low, and after about 3-4 weeks of a consistent daily fasting practice, as you're inching up from 12-12 to 16-8, for me, I just felt one day, I was like, 8 hours seems long. I can eat the same amount. I can eat two meals in 6 hours. And I just realized that naturally, if my eating window was from 12 to 8, suddenly it was like from 1 to 7. Mm-hmm. And that just felt really good. And so regarding nutrients, as I mentioned earlier, our brain has an appetite center, an apostat. And once we are consistently fasting, that apostat, we're like a wild animal. Our body will tell us when to stop eating. It will tell us when it's satisfied. And especially, so if you're fasting clean, fasting consistently, and replacing ultra-processed food and refined sugars with real whole foods, that apostat starts to work like a wild animal. So a lion knows what to eat, when to eat, and how much to eat, and it knows when to stop. So I was in South Africa many years ago and watched two cheetah take down an impala, which was sad for like a second, but it was really beautiful and interesting. And those beautiful cats ate their meal and they didn't like clean the carcass. They ate like half of it. And the buzzards were all gathering around because they knew what was to come. But the cats knew when they were satisfied. And so do we. We know our body starts to tell us when to stop eating. So here's what I have experienced is happening. That during the fasting, remember the fasting hours, you are fueling on your own body fat. So the calorie charts and even the macro grams and quantities are a bit skewed because if you're fasting, you're fueling on your own fat. And if you're fasting longer than 18 hours, you're really ramping up autophagy, which is this deep cellular repair that goes in, cleans out the old broken proteins in every cell, and we're recycling, upcycling the old damaged protein that's already in our body. So that's another way that we're getting protein. So then in your eating window, if you're eating delicious, nutritious, real whole foods that you love, I say that you look forward to, that love you back, your body, our body, will tell us, today, eat more. I'm really hungry today. And that doesn't mean you're overeating. That means you're responding to what your body's telling you. Eat more food today. Other days, you'll have just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And your body's like, yeah, I'm good. And it really is. So I don't think we need to force in extra food in our eating window, but nor should we. A lot of people are like, well, if fasting's good, then diet, you know, calorie restricting and fasting right. is doubly good. It's like, no. That will slow the metabolism. We want all of the fat burning of the fasting hours coupled with the nutrition and pleasure of the eating window. And those two things together, that dance together, signal the body that fuel is plentiful. The fat fuel while you're fasting and the nutrition while you're eating. And that will keep the metabolism humming if you're doing both of those things. So I really feel like each individual will figure out for themselves, you know, with us as a guide or with a community, and fasting longer isn't necessarily better. It just provides, yields different results. Somebody could do 16-8 all week and one day a week do a 22-2 or 36-12 one day a week or once a month. So it's up to each person.
Well, I think the individuality is a good point to pull out here because there are even, and you kind of pointed to this as well, but there are other, you know, metabolic things that will come into play because we haven't even talked about exercise, you know, and the non-activity or non-exercise activity thermogenesis and all of the pieces that come into play in terms of actually using the nutrients that you're consuming. So I think one of the biggest takeaways that I give people with intermittent fasting, and Lori has pointed this out as well, is that if you have tried it in the past and you feel like it did not go well, more often than not, I think one of the reasons is because a lot of people don't know how to do it well. And it really does require some guidance from people who can help you maximize it and truly understand leveraging the fasted window, leveraging the fed window, and really understanding how to make the most of the strategy. So if you're hearing this and you're like, oh, I've tried it, it didn't really work. Well, I highly, highly encourage you to do it under guidance and supervision because there's a lot of great research to it, but it is an individual experience that really does need to be tailored slightly to people's schedules, to your activity. If you are hardcore exercising, then that nutrition does need to be evaluated because you need to make sure that you are fueling appropriately in that fed window for your activity and depending on what your goals are. So, Lori, where can people find you? You are an excellent resource on intermittent fasting. Tell us where we can find you, learn more about you.
Well, my business is called Fast Forward. And so
it's so cute. I love that. Fast Forward Wellness.
Fast Forward Wellness. And if people go there, they can sign up and get a free guide with a list of benefits and how to, you know, point by point of how to start. And I just, you know, to the people who say, you know, it didn't work for them, Again,
have you heard that before?
Oh, it's a thing I hear. Either people say, "Oh, I did that. I never felt better." I'm like, "Shoot, that what? Why'd you stop?" And usually, some stress in life or vacation, they're like, "I got to start that up again. I felt so well." Or the flips. The other thing I hear is, "Yeah, that didn't work for me." And I say, "It works for everyone because our bodies are designed to pause from eating a little bit longer than how long we're sleeping." Okay. So if people are consciously, whether it's 12-12 or 16-8 or 19-5, if people are consciously helping their body along and choosing something that feels good, then the fasting hours are always working. You're always in repair during those hours. It's a matter of customizing. And so that's what I love to do. I have group programs and I coach people one-on-one. And I have a year-long membership where we get together on Zoom and have a monthly fast chat.
That's cute.
And I answer lots of questions. We talk about the latest research and feel a sense of camaraderie and community and celebration. So I love every minute of what I do, having people really fall in love with their own magnificence and step outside into this new world of what is life like without the punishment model and the self-beratement and the, you know, that we can really shine as we age. And it's a really, it's a beautiful time to be a woman and to be a human.
Yeah. Amen. I'm grateful. Well, Lori, thank you so much for being on. It's an honor to have you. Thank you for the lives. I'm sure there are many, many people that could testify to how you have helped change their life and thrive for the better. So it's been an honor having you here. And I pray God's richest blessing over your business and all that you're doing. And it was such a blessing to have you.
Thank you so much, Anna. Such a treat.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. I would love to hear your thoughts from today. Head to your preferred podcasting platform and give the show an honest review and let me know what you think. Remember, you cannot be redefined, only redeveloped one imperfect day at a time. Your story matters and you are loved.